This is the last in a series of three messages on the shade of the cross, which is kind of my response with regards to the movie 50 Shades of Grey. And you will be able to get this series if you would like to have it. You can order it through our church office to share with others or to go back over for yourself. It was the whole idea has been to just rehearse in our minds about what God's call is for you and I who know Him. Living in a sex-saturated society is not easy with regards to accomplishing what God is wanting us to accomplish and how He's wanting us to live. And I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 7, because God tells us how He wants us to live. And what I want to do, I want to read this passage from two different translations. I normally read from the New American Standard, so I want to begin with that. And then I want to read from the English Standard Version, same passage, and just kind of hear it in a couple of different ways. So Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, God wants you to be pure and to keep clear of all sexual sin. So when he talks about being pure, God wants me pure, what he's saying is, I want you to keep yourself clear of all sexual sin. And then he tells us why. Because God has not called us, those of us who know Him, He's not called us to be dirty-minded and full of lust, but to be holy and clean. And when it talks about being dirty-minded and full of lust, if you are a husband, you cannot have lustful thoughts for your wife. That's impossible. Those are love thoughts. Those are desire thoughts. When he talks about lust and he talks about dirty-mindedness, he's referring to the attitude of our mind towards somebody in whom we're not in a marriage relationship. So anytime there is a sexual desire on my part or your part with regards to somebody in whom you're not in a marriage relationship with, that is sexual immorality. That is moral impurity. And it is lust. And lust is always a sin. Let's look at the English Standard Version. For this is the will of God. Same passage. Your sanctification. That, in other words, that you are set apart from this. Here's the world, and God says, I want you set apart. He's not talking about being weird. He's talking about you being different. I want you to be different. That, and here's what he means. Here's what I'm talking about. That you abstain from sexual immorality. That, now listen, this is huge. That each one of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honor. Why? Because God has not called you and me for impurity, but in holiness. Now, in light of the fact that we live in a society in a day and a time when people have just went kind of nuts with regards to 50 Shades of Grey. It was like it was the movie to be seen. And it was like the world was just running to that. And it was all over everywhere. And they were just talking about it. It begs the question, is it possible in a sex-saturated society like you and I live in, is it possible to do what God told us is His will for us? That we would maintain a life where we have a purity of our mind and a purity in our body. Because I think every one of us know what it is to be like Isaiah the prophet. When he saw the Lord, when he got near to God, when he saw a vision of God, he cried out and he said, God, forgive me, because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We just have this awareness of how often we fall short of how we need to be living our lives. And so that's what I want us to speak to. And so the question is it possible to live this kind of life that God says He's calling on us to live, that we live lives of moral purity? Well, the answer to that is yes. It is possible. And that's really what this message is about. Pull out your life point outlines if you haven't already done that. I want you to look at the first insight that I want to give you this morning. The pathway to moral purity is to insulate our lives, not isolate our lives. Listen, God is not about isolation. God is about insulation in this world. God has not called you and me to take up and live the life of a monk or a nun. God's not called us to do that, to isolate ourselves from society and to just pull back to the point that we look like somebody, we dress like somebody that's kind of come out of a time warp. You know, God's not called us to do that. He's not called us to be weird. God has called us to be different. And the reason that I say that God's not called us to isolation is because isolation doesn't work. Isolation doesn't change our inner nature. I can be as unholy and as impure in the Himalayas as I can on the streets of Hollywood. I mean, it doesn't matter where you plant me. Plant me anywhere you want to. The problem is internal, right? It's inside. I take what I am with me wherever I go. But here's the thing I want to encourage you about. Ocean fish. And a lot of us, you know, if you like to eat fish, maybe there's ocean perch or whatever, you know, that you enjoy. The remarkable thing about fish who live in the ocean is that they live all of their life in water that is so incredibly salty that if you and I were to drink it, it would make us nauseated. It would make us sick. And yet the fact is, when you catch that fish and you pull it out and you prepare it, the only way you can eat it is by sprinkling what? Salt. Isn't that odd? Well, here's the deal. If God can take a fish and plant it in an environment of salt its entire life and it not be affected by it, you know what God is saying? God is saying, I'm totally capable of taking you and putting you in a polluted world, and I can keep your mind and I can keep your life unpolluted. God said, I can do that. It is possible for me to live and all my life and to end well. And what I want is I want you to end well. I want to end well. And what God is simply saying is, it's possible to do that. And you do it by insulation, not isolation. So let me just kind of break this down for you this morning and you'll have the message. Number one, How do I insulate myself to the moral impurity in this world? Number one, I make a commitment in my life to God's standard of moral purity. Now, let me just unpack this for you a minute. In the Gospel of John chapter 5, there's a place called the Pool of Bethesda. It was one of the pools in the city of Jerusalem around the temple area. And the thing about this pool was that tradition had it that at certain times an angel would come and stir the waters, and whatever sick person was the first one to get into the waters after the angel stirred it would be healed of whatever condition that they had. And so there were all these sick people around the pool. And Jesus comes in. And Jesus comes up to this guy, and the scripture says, John writes, and he says, what's interesting about this man is that he has been ill 38 years. And here he is at the Pool of Bethesda, the pool where when the angel stirs the water, the first one in is healed of their malady. And so he's laying there. And Jesus comes up to this guy, and he asks him the most incredulous question. It's kind of like somebody being at the hospital, and the doctor walks in, and he says, do you want to be made well? Because that's what Jesus asked him. He said, do you want to be made well? You're like, hello, I'm here. But you see, when you go down in John chapter 5 and you read verse 14, the man, Jesus heals the man, and then he comes back and he tells him, he says, be very careful. And he says, don't sin like you did before, lest something worse come upon you. And so what Jesus was saying was, you want this water to heal you, but what I want to ask you is, are you willing to make the decision to stop doing what you were doing that got you where you were to begin with. Does that make sense? And so what Jesus said is, do you want to be made well, or are you just wanting something for right now? But it's not really going to change your life. But it's not going to be long. You'll be right back where you were. And what I'm simply saying is, if I want the power of God in my life, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a commitment to His standard of moral purity. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can anyone keep his way pure? If you're battling pornography, if you're battling sexual immorality, whatever it is that you're battling that you know is making you impure, God's speaking to you. Here's what He says. He said, how can anybody keep his way pure? You want to know? Do you want to live a better life? Do you want to get out of the muck mire that you're in that keeps pulling you down and destroying relationships and can destroy your home? Do you want that? He said, here's how you do it. By living according to the Word. Now, what does that mean? It simply means you make a commitment to God's standard for sex in His Word. And once you do that, you know what happens? Your decisions, our decisions about what we watch, our decisions about what we wear, our decisions about where we go and how we handle sex in our daily life are already answered. They're already answered. Why? Because I made a commitment of my life to God's standards with regards to sex. So here's a question. What is the standard of authority in my life and in your life with regards to sex? What's your standard of authority? On what do you and I base our sexual lives? On what do you base your decisions of how you display your body? On what do you base your decisions on how you treat the body that God has given you? I want you to understand something. We talked about this a little bit last time. But let me just give you a Christian perspective. All of us like to dress nice. We like to dress well. We want to wear clothes that kind of reflect us. But here's the thing. With regards to clothes, and with regards to my life regarding sex, there is only one woman in all the world that I want to turn on by any way that I might dress or anything else. And her name is Catherine Green. Not just any Catherine. Only Catherine's. No. Catherine Green. You see, once I adopt His standard, I no longer have a desire for any woman, work with me here, for any woman to look at me and say, man, he's hot. I told you, don't laugh too much. As a woman, there's only one man you want to turn on as a godly woman. That's your husband. You don't want any other man anywhere looking at you and saying, oh, she is so hot. Whoa, be still my heart. You don't want that. Why? Because you're luring a man into sexual immorality. And God holds us responsible for that. God says, I made your body. We don't live life the way that the world does because I have adopted God's position on sex. And that means that I don't dress. And listen, I'm not talking about you going out dressing like a nun or like, you know, the women in Islam and in the Muslim tradition. I'm asking you to, all of a sudden you start wearing a long drape that just covers everything. We're talking about what? We're talking about modesty. And modesty can be very attractive, but it's not a turn on. Does that make sense? Dad, Mom, Girls, guys, that's the point. That's what the Lord is saying. That's what this morning is about. That's where God has us. God says so many things in Scripture about sex that aren't popular today. And see, we've got to make a decision. If we're going to bear the name of Christ, we have to make a decision about whose standard of sex we're going to adopt. What are we going to live by? Because God sets these parameters about sex. God tells me when I can have sex. He tells you when you can have sex. He not only tells you when, He tells you with whom. And He tells you that when you have sex with that person you're intimate with, He tells you how you're supposed to treat them. You see, when Catherine and I are intimate, God tells me how I'm supposed to treat her. God goes into our bedroom. That goes to everything that's being taught with regards to 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey is immorality. It is unbiblical. It is ungodly. And the last thing we want is any woman beginning to think that's the way sex ought to be. So here's a question. I think it's in your outline. When what God says about sex goes against what society says, what are you going to do? You see, that's what you and I've got to answer. That's what we've got to know. And we need to know that leaving here today. 50 Shades of Grey, now listen, 50 Shades of Grey was and is a trap for men and women who are uncommitted to Christ. You say, how's that? Because 50 Shades of Grey is a lure into soft pornography. And once you begin, listen, once you step over the line, once you embrace soft porn as being acceptable, then you have automatically lowered the bar and now you're open for more because you've already accepted it. If you accepted 50 Shades of Grey, you've dropped your standard lower. You've already done it. And it is a trap for the uncommitted. It was and is a test for those of us who are committed to Jesus Christ. Our society has hit a new low. And I'll tell you what it means. And I'll run before I take this back. It means there are going to be more movies that will come out that will trap the uncommitted and test the committed. There are going to be more movies that will come out that are going to push the envelope of what society considers to be indecency. It's coming. And so we have to make a decision, whose standard of sexual morality are we going to adopt? How are we going to live our life? What are we going to say, this is how I'm going to live my life? Because there is a way to pass every one of these tests. You insulate yourself. You insulate yourself. How? Here's the insight in your outline. Until you commit to God's standard of sex, you cannot live pure in an impure world. You see, we've got to understand this morning, when it comes to sex, who created it? God did, right? Right? Right. God created sex. And God is good, isn't He? Huh? So that means sex is what? You're afraid to say it, aren't you? Okay, sex is good. I told you that's why we have to have mature people in here during this series. Aren't you glad your mom and dad enjoyed sex? Because a stork did not bring you. Mom and dad, yeah, that's why you're here. God created it, and God says it is good. God thought up the whole idea of sex, but He put perimeters around it. And God said there are standards, and He said, my standards don't change. And He has set rules for sex. And God simply says, if you play by my rules, it's always going to be good. But if you break my rules, you will lose. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There will always be a payday when you take sex out of God's perimeters. Here's an insight. Sex is a gift that can bless you or hurt you. You see, water is a gift. 90% of my body and your body is made up of water. We cannot live without it. But if you get too much water, you will drown. Sex is required for the propagation of the human race. God put the drive inside of us, but there are perimeters for it. You want it, you desire it, you enjoy it, you like it. God says it's good, but he says you get it outside the perimeters that I have set for it, and it will destroy your life. God says you have no control over that. God said, that's what I've done. God said, I will cause it to cost you. So, what's the point for today? I want you to adopt God's standard for sex. That means if you are married, here's what I'm wanting you to do today. I want you to make a commitment today. I would like for husbands and wives to stand here in this altar today and for you to look each other in the face and say, babe, it doesn't matter what you do, but with God as my helper, I intend to get to the end of my life being faithful to you. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to be faithful. When I stand before him, I want to be able to look the Lord Jesus in the face and say that by the grace of God, I have been sexually pure. And there may be some of you who need to come to him and say, Father, forgive me. I have messed up, I fouled up, but I am making a commitment to your standard and you're going to start again. That's what forgiveness is all about, right? We can start again. That's what Jesus died for. And you can do that, and I hope you'll do that. And for some of you that are single this morning, here's what I want. I'm wanting you to come forward this morning, and I want you to make a commitment that you will tell your friends, and whenever it becomes appropriate, anybody that you consider dating, that you let them know right from the very beginning what kind of man and what kind of woman that you are. And you intend, girls, you intend to walk the aisle wherever it is. You intend to walk in a white dress, and you intend for it to mean something. You want to wear white. You don't want to wear beige. You want to wear white because white means purity and you want to be pure before the Lord. And some of you, that means secondary virginity. And you can do that and you can say, God, forgive me. I want to start afresh. And the Bible simply says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to wash you clean and he wants you to start over. But start over. Do it. And walk this aisle somewhere in a white dress because you're giving honor to him. That's the way to do it. And some of you young men, you need to make a stand this morning. By the grace of God, I will not violate a young girl. I will not do it. I intend to be standing at the front, at the altar, and I intend for that girl to be able to walk that aisle and look at me and know that I am giving myself to her, and I'm not bringing any other girls with me into this marriage. There's no girl in my mind. There's nobody in my mind that I have been with and I have defiled. I am coming to them clean. I am coming to her pure, and I am coming with a desire to live for her and to make her the center of my life as my wife. So, number two. You make a commitment. This is how we insulate ourselves. We make a commitment to his standard. And then number two, I receive his power. Now, here's the insight. The power of God, if I'm going to live pure, the power of God insulates me from being run over by temptation. You see, here's two sides to the same coin. On one side, I don't have power to say no to temptation. That's a true statement. On the other side, as a follower of Christ, I have the power to say no to temptation. That's also a true statement. Both of those statements are true because they're taught in the Word. Now watch this. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right. I want to live a morally pure life, but I do not have the ability to carry it out. Every one of us ought to understand what Paul's talking about. Every one of us ought to understand, man, I so understand what he's saying. I want to live the life that God wants me to live, but it's like I keep blowing it. It's like I keep messing it up. It's a crapshoot. I don't know what's gonna happen. I fall or I succeed. There's no rhyme, no reason to it. I just don't understand. It's kind of like the bumper sticker that I read about that said, lead me not into temptation. I'm perfectly capable of finding it on my own. And we can. Being tempted is not our problem. I mean, we get tempted. Here's the insight. Temptation is inevitable, but the power to resist is available. God says that. You can live a morally pure life in an impure world. You can do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Every temptation that has come your way is the kind that normally comes to people. Sexual temptation is across the board. There's nobody exempt from that. Now listen, but God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your power to resist, because at the same time you are tempted, he will give you strength, power to endure it, and to provide you with a way out. Now here's the insight I want you to understand. There's always a way out of temptation, but it's not automatic. There's always a way you can say no to moral impurity. You can, but it is not automatic. What I mean by that is there are a multitude of Christians who are going to heaven when they die, but they don't have the power to stay morally pure. Now I want to tell you why they don't. Let me give you three reasons, and you've got the message this morning. Three reasons why they don't have the power to stay morally pure. I'm going to tell you how you receive the power, all right? Number one. If I want the power of God in my life, number one, I have to confess my weakness. I confess my own weakness. Now listen, if you're fighting pornography, if you're fighting being faithful to a spouse, if you're fighting keeping yourself pure as a single, it's like you fall in the dating relationship winds up in bed. It's like before you know it. And you tell yourself it's not going to happen, and it keeps happening. Listen, if you want God's help, you've got to admit that you are weak. If you want the power of God operating in your life every day, you always remember the way up is down. And this goes with anything. If you don't have the power of God in your life, the first step to the anointing power of the Almighty in your life is you admit you cannot do it on your own. You admit that you don't have it all together. You admit that you cannot solve your life problems. This goes to any area in your life, but particularly to sexual immorality. You have to confess to God, God, I don't have the power to control this body of mine. I am so flawed. I am so hit with sin from the past. There's so much stuff I've seen. There's so much garbage I've watched in movies. There's so much trash that I have read. There's such a drive inside of me for sex outside the perimeter of what you want in my life. God, I am helpless before this. Let me tell you something. That's how the power of God comes. You and I have to be honest. Some of you this morning are at a place. Listen, you're at about a place in your life where it's like you're about to stroke out, because God has brought you to a place in your life where he is teaching you, you are not God Junior. You are not like ready for the rapture. You don't have everything together, and you thought you have, but you're learning something. You're learning you can't control everything in your life. You're learning you can't reach all these goals that you're wanting to reach, particularly in the area of purity and morality and just being the man or being the woman that God wants you to be. You're learning you can't do it, and it's eating you up alive. You are failing day after day after day after day. Some of you realize you're not going to make the money that you thought you were going to make all of your life. You were going to be this, and you were going to be that, and you were going to succeed here, and you were going to succeed there, but you're realizing that ain't going to happen, because I can't bring it all together. It's just not coming together for me. Everything that you have dreamed is just not materializing. You have come to realize today, and you're here, and you have come to realize you are human and you are weak. And what God is wanting you to do is admit it. Admit it. God, I can't. And God is saying, finally. Finally. Because here's Proverbs 29:23. Pride always ends in humiliation.
while humility brings honor. My only hope of ending well is to stay on my face before Him. Because if left to myself, I am totally capable of ruining everything that I've succeeded in accomplishing to right now. Does that make sense? You understand? There are so many men who have gotten so close to the finish line and have been disqualified. There are so many marriages where a man and a woman has invested 25, 30, 35, 40 years, and that marriage hits the rocks. And it hits the rocks, and pastors fall, and people mess up their lives. Why? Because we will not admit to the Almighty, we can't. And then number two, we don't stay hooked to Him. Maybe you're thinking, but John, I'm saved. So aren't I already hooked to Jesus? And if I am, I don't understand why I don't have the power to withstand temptation. Well, here's the insight. If you lack power to resist temptation, it's because you're unplugged. If you are falling, young man, young lady, if you keep falling to immorality, sir, if you keep violating your wife by going to watch porn, and when you watch pornography, you are in fact paying a prostitute to satisfy you. You are violating your marriage. And that's hard to stop if you don't have the power of God in your life. But the reason we don't have power is either because we will not confess to God that we're weak and we cannot do it without Him, or number two, because we are following our own agenda and we will not yield to what God wants in our life. God will not bless my agenda. He only blesses His. And so you have to ask yourself, am I blessable? Can God bless me? Am I hooked to Him? Because Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you're the branch. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, because apart from me, you can't do anything. I've got to stay hooked to Him. So, and here's the insight. I can have God's power to resist temptation today and lose it tomorrow because it's not permanent. Anytime I break from God's will for me, anytime I begin to walk in disobedience in those other areas, I get disconnected. And it's not hard to connect with the Lord. That's not a difficult thing. Listen to what Jesus said in John 11. He said, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So how do you connect to the Lord? Listen, now watch this. If you are a seeker this morning, first of all, we're excited that you're here. But as a seeker, you're just kind of checking out this whole thing about Jesus. And maybe you've come today and there's questions in your life. There's things that you're struggling with. If you're a seeker and you're just kind of checking out the whole thing about Jesus, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is waiting for you to say, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want to be washed of this sin, this weight that's on me. I want you to wash me of it. And I want to ask you to give me a new life. And I want to begin living by your agenda. That's what Jesus is wanting from you this morning. Now, if you are a believer and you feel like that you just gotten unplugged, what does God want? God says, I want you to re-up to me. I want you to recommit to what worship is. What is worship? Worship is once every 7 days. God said, once every 7 days, I want you to present yourself before me and remember that I'm God and you're not. So normal worship is weekly with regards to congregational gathering. It's once every 7 days. And you don't just come, you bring an offering. You bring an offering to him. Why? Because that admits to God, Lord, I know where everything I have comes from you. God says in the Old Testament again and again, he said, do not ever appear before me empty-handed. Never come before me empty-handed. If I have prospered you and blessed you, you bring an offering to me. Why? As an acknowledgement that I'm your giver. Everything you've got comes from me. And you see it over in the New Testament. New Testament says, let every one of us lay by him in store on the first day of the week. That's today. So every week, we bring an offering when we come to him. It just simply says, I know where everything I've got comes from. And I connect with other believers, like in our life groups, who want to chase after the Holy One. You get with them, and you commit to serving other people. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom to me. Listen, that's how you connect with him. That's how you re-plug your life. Worship, offering, life group, service. Why? Because it's what the Lord wants. You reconnect to him. And that's what we seek to help you do here. But then number three, so I admit that I cannot make it by myself. I need him. I stay hooked to him. And then number three, I obey him and I trust that he's going to show up. You see, that's how I overcome. Here's the insight. God's power and my faith are connected. Now watch this. If I want God's power in my life, I've got to first of all take a step in response to what the Word says. And God says, I'll always show up. God says, I'll always show up. When we respond in faith, God says, I'll always show up. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Listen, when you connect to Jesus, your choices are going to become clear. Not necessarily easier, but they're going to be clearer. And when you choose to obey Christ, even when you think you can't, some of you, if you're going to reconnect with Jesus this morning, you know there are things in your life you're going to have to say no to today. And maybe you're concerned, I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know if I can financially afford to do that. I just don't know if I can carry through that. Listen, here's what God says. God says, you take a first step. That means this morning, and this invitation time, we're going to have a time of commitment. This morning, listen, if you know there's some changes need to be made, if you will take the first step, if you will just come and stand and say, God, I'm committed. I'm committed because I want your blessing in my life. I want your strength. I want to put moral impurity out of my life. I want to see the hand of God on my life. God says, then you commit to me. You commit to my standard. You commit as a husband and wife to live morally pure. You commit as a single person to moral purity, to get to the altar and be pure before me. You commit to me. And if you commit, I promise you, I'll show up. I'll show up in your life. Here's the last insight. The Bible teaches that God grants power along the way according to our faith. God grants power along the way. He doesn't give the power in advance. He gives it as we move. So maybe this morning you're a seeker. You want to believe, but you've got questions. You've got fears, you've got hurts that are holding you back. Listen, here's what God says. God says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. What does that mean? God's not afraid of your questions. God understands where you're fearful. He knows all about your hurts. He knows there's a lot of things that have happened in your life. You don't understand why he permitted that. And I'm telling you, God may not give you an answer to every question that you've got, but here's what God promises. He said, I'm going to be God. I will always do right by you. I have the power to do anything in your life that you need done. I'm God. I made you. I've got a plan for you. And if you come to me, I will take care of you. But it may be in the area of your question, your walk with me is that I'm going to call on you to trust me. And as you trust me and as you walk with me, I'm going to take care of you because you're honoring me. God wants you to honor him this morning. Young man, young woman, God wants you to honor him. Honor him. Somebody in the Christian community needs to stand for the honor of the Almighty in a sex-saturated society. We have got to be pure people. We've got to be the people that God can bless. And that's what I call you to this morning. Some of you this morning, you know that God is there. You know he is calling you to him. You know he wants you to come. I want to invite you to come. Now listen, there are some of you here this morning. I don't know how many times I've heard this in the last several weeks. And here's what I wrote down. Some of you are tired, you are weary, and you are frazzled. That's what I hear again and again. You don't want to play with the kids. You're so tired, you don't even know if you can be a mom or a dad to them. It is difficult for you to show love to your spouse the way that you should. Honestly, you just like to be left alone. I want to call on you today to take God at his word. Joel, Don, and the team are going to start playing in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you, you are so tired with regards to those things that I've talked about. Here's what I believe God wants you to say to him. Father, I am so worn out. I need you. See, you're confessing your need. Because I just don't have what I need to have to be obedient to you. That's acknowledging you want to follow his standard. God, I don't have the energy. But Father, I want to be the mom, I want to be the dad that my children that you've given me need. They need me. All the time they need me. I want to honor my wife. I want to honor my husband. And right now, and you're saying this by coming this morning, you're saying, I don't have the energy, but I am re-upping. I am committing myself to you as if I had the power, but I don't. But I am making a commitment. I will be what my children need. I will be what my spouse needs because you have given them to me and I am responsible to you for them regardless of what's going on in my life. But I am coming this morning committing myself to your standard and your calling, but I need you. And God's promise is when you take that first step of faith, when you say yes to him, he'll show up. He will show up. God says you can live a pure life. You can live an anointed life. You can live a life that will bring honor and glory to Jesus. We can make it to the end, ladies and gentlemen. We can make it to the end with honor. We can cross that finish line having done well. We can do it if we admit we can't without him.